Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hey, and welcome to another episode of Headbangers Kitchen Uncooked. I'm here with none other than Daniel Kenneth Rego, ex-lead guitarist of Demonic Resurrection. Hi Daniel, welcome to the show.
Hey.
So the burning question that everyone's been asking, and this is your chance to set the record straight: why did you quit Demonic Resurrection?
So Demonic Resurrection was a band I played in for 5 years.
Yes, sir.
As you know. And as you also know, those 5 years were some of the most memorable times of my life. But as a musician, at some point, I felt my personal direction and my personal interests as a composer and as an improviser were drifting away from metal music or heavy music in general. So at some point, it didn't really feel natural to me to play this kind of music. And Demonic Resurrection is a serious band with very serious aspirations, and these aspirations require serious commitment, which I feel I was not ready to give anymore because it didn't feel natural to me.
So are you saying this is pretty much the end of Daniel Kenneth Rego as a metalhead now, or a metal musician for now?
Well, I still listen to metal very often.
Of course, but I mean, yeah. Are we going to see, do you feel that you will be playing metal anytime in the near future?
Not voluntarily.
So Daniel, tell me about your fascination for tea.
I started drinking tea, seriously drinking tea, and trying to appreciate and understand how tea works, so to speak, about 5 or 6 years ago. I just really like the entire experience of infusing tea. For me, it's not just a matter of throwing tea into a vessel and boiling the water. For me, I like the entire process of making tea and making sure the temperature of the water is right, making sure you're infusing it for the right amount of time, depending on the kind of tea. And I also really like the huge range of tastes and flavors and experiences you can get from the world of tea. Because it's not just about chai, you know, chai is just one kind of tea. And then you have different kinds of infusions, different strengths, different estates, all of them have their own personality. So for me, it's sort of like an experience getting to know these different kinds of teas and discovering the world of tea, so to speak.
World of tea sounds fascinating. So if you had to recommend a tea for our viewers, what would you suggest they start out with?
Well, everyone's not the same, obviously.
Well, what does Daniel Kenneth Rego recommend? What is your standard brew that you drink every day?
So in the morning, you obviously generally want a tea that will give you a kick, so to speak. So you can probably get a nice, robust, full-bodied Assam tea, or maybe a strong South Indian tea. Or there are some really cool Sri Lankan teas also that are very strong. Like there's an estate called Kandy, K-A-N-D-Y. And that estate happens to produce some of my most favorite, strong, robust, full-bodied teas. They aren't very popular in India though, but...
Okay. And what is the secret to brewing a perfect cup of tea?
You need to know the tea before you put it in boiling water, because it's cruel otherwise. So you need to understand that different kinds of tea are harvested at different seasons, at different stages of maturity, are fermented for different amounts of time. And accordingly, according to these factors, as well as things like the elevation of the estate itself and the climate, each tea reacts differently. So you need to know how the tea responds to the temperature of the water, the period of time you're brewing it for, you're infusing it for, and also how well it takes to, you know, additions like sugar or milk, etc. It's just about knowledge of the tea and then a bit of experience.
That's actually quite fascinating. Okay, so before you go today, you're going to show us how to brew a perfect cup, right?
A perfect cup of the specific kind of tea I happen to have with me today.
Which is?
It's a tea called Der Kuss,
okay.
Which is, I suppose that's German. It's a kind of Ceylon tea that's flavored with Earl Grey and a bit of orange. So it's very similar to Earl Grey, but the base tea, instead of being Darjeeling or Assam as Earl Grey generally is, the base of this one is Ceylon. So I'm going to brew a perfect cup of Der Kus.
Awesome, I look forward to that. And you've been very vocal about music education in this country very specifically. So what do you think of the current state of, you know, music education in India, and what are some of the words of wisdom you would, or what is the direction you would recommend that people take when learning music?
Well, for me, I've always, as far as I can remember, seen music as a language. You know, I mean, obviously it's very fashionable to say things like universal language, etc. But it is a language that you need to understand if you want to fluently speak and communicate in an effective way. So just like in any language, you have things like grammar, syntax, vocabulary, all those things exist in music as well. And while you can learn these things through experience and through listening to your influences and transcribing them, which is obviously a huge learning experience, it always helps to have somebody who can guide you and instruct you. So according to me, music education is really important, and you need to take it seriously, both in terms of the teacher being very serious about what he's imparting, and the student also understanding that music is a language. You need to understand how it works. You know, there are things like combinations of notes, understanding harmony, understanding rhythm, understanding tension and resolution, and the balance of that in it. And this applies everywhere. I mean, it applies if you're playing metal, obviously. It applies if you're playing rock, pop, jazz, blues, whatever. It's all common information that you need to understand if you want to make music that makes sense on the spot. I mean, everyone can compose through trial and error. But if you want to improvise and have that improvised phrase come out making complete sense, like I'm talking to you right now, you need to understand what you're doing. It can't be trial and error.
Okay. And what advice would you give budding guitar players who look up to you and, you know, want to learn from you, or just are inspired by you when you're playing?
The first thing I get everyone who asks me this question to do is just understand music in terms of understanding the way intervals work. Because intervals, to simplify the concept, the intervals in music are just the basic pitch relationships between any two notes. And that's what makes music work. That's what the choice of intervals is, what will make a certain piece of music sound happy or sad or angry or tense or relaxed or whatever. That's what makes sense in terms of music. Because note names at the end of the day, like C or C sharp, are just man-made labels. They don't directly mean anything, and they don't necessarily sound like anything definite. They're just labels. But intervals are sounds that you can recognize and categorize in your head and make sense of. So the first thing I get everyone to try and do is just understand intervals, because that will open up the language of music to you completely. Everything from scales to harmony, everything will make sense.
That's pretty cool, man. It's good to know. So Daniel, on that note, thank you for your time and thank you for being on Headbangers Kitchen.
Thank you.
And before we let you go, you're going to brew that cup of tea for me?
Yes.
Let's go brew that cup of tea now. All right, so we're here with Daniel Kenneth Rego, who's going to brew us a cup of this tea. So what's happening right now, Daniel? Just give us the rundown.
So this is what I have here. This bag is something called refillable tea bags or something like that. So essentially, this acts as a tea bag when you want to use your own tea. So it's got the same material as a standard tea bag. And the tea I have here is a tea called Der Kus, which a friend gifted to me when she was in Germany. You know who you are. Thank you. So Der Kus is the base is Ceylon. And it's got a strong flavor of citrus, very reminiscent of Earl Grey. In fact, you can almost say it's like Earl Grey, but with a Ceylon base.
Okay.
So we have the water boiling here. And the basic idea is that for this tea, you need the water to not be boiling at full point. So it's just like a light simmer, and then we can add the tea bag.
So is it simmering now?
It is.
Okay.
So because this is a light tea, you infuse it for like no more than 3 to 4 minutes maximum. In fact, I infused this for 3 minutes. So I have a timer that I use on my phone.
Nice, a tea timer.
Yeah, a general
timer. You're a tea timer, dude. Do you like tea time on women too?
No. So I just start the timer.
Okay, now what do you want to do?
So I'll put the tea bag in the cup and keep the timer for 3 minutes. Yeah. Yeah, so as you can see, it's a pretty cool way to infuse teas without the mess of a strainer.
Okay, so while we wait for that to brew, the 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask you, what is the fascination with having your middle name everywhere?
I don't remember how it started, actually. I thought it sounded cool at some point. And then everyone started, all the official credits started coming out that way. So for the sake of consistency, I kept it. It does sound cool, I guess.
Daniel Kenneth.
Yeah, it's not bad.
So now it just brews and...
Yeah, I mean, ideally you'd want to cover it. So we'll cover it.
Okay.
3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Yeah.
We'll see you in whatever time of 3 minutes is left. So Daniel, while you're here on Headbangers Kitchen, I thought it would be unfair to not feed you. So while we wait for the tea to brew...
Infuse, sorry.
I've got some Uncle Sunny's mac and cheese for you to try.
Oh, excellent. Wow. Very creamy and very rich, which is how it should be.
That's not fake, no?
No.
You really like it.
I really like it. I'm a huge fan of pasta in any form, anyway, especially cheese-based pastas, and obviously this hits the spot.
Excellent.
Very nice. Superb. 6 seconds.
Okay. So it's ready?
Almost. Alright, so time's up. So we take our used and soon-to-be-disposed tea bag out. So, because this is a light tea, I won't be using any milk. It's not meant to be had with milk. And just not much sugar. So, ordinarily, a large mug like this for standard black teas would take maybe a teaspoon and a half or 2 teaspoons of sugar. I'll just use one for this.
You can put a little extra. I have to taste it, no?
All right. So, one and...
A half.
Should I use the same spoon to stir?
Yeah.
Okay, so it should be good to go.
Okay. Smells very nice.
You can definitely smell the citrus.
Right? Yeah, I can. Ah, it's a great smell.
Very uplifting.
Uplifting. Yeah, Daniel, get uplifted. Okay, Daniel, so while you enjoy your mac and cheese, I'm going to try this tea. That is really good. So there you have it. Daniel Kenneth Rego has brewed me the perfect cup of tea. And while he enjoys his mac and cheese, I'll see you on the next episode of Headbangers Kitchen.